Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm Olivia, a single mom, working from home while raising my 2 kids, Emma and Jack, aged 10 and 8. Our house was cozy, with a little garden out back where the kids played. Then, Julia and her son Kyle moved in next door. At first, they seemed harmless. Julia was a divorced nurse, always rushing off to shifts, and Kyle was this chubby 18-year-old fresh out of high school, blasting music from his car. "Hey, neighbor!" he'd yell over the fence sometimes, waving with that cocky grin. Nothing too bad, just typical teenage stuff. I waved back, thinking, live and let live. But then, Chloe entered the picture. She was Kyle's girlfriend, this fiery 19-year-old with dyed pink hair. They met at some party. And overnight, our peaceful street turned into a circus. It started small. Loud arguments on their porch that echoed into my living room. One evening, I was putting the kids to bed when I heard them screaming.
"You idiot, Kyle! That's not how you roll a joint!"
Chloe's voice pierced the night.
"Shut up, bitch! I know what I'm doing!" he shot back.
I peeked out the window and saw them passing a bottle, laughing hysterically afterward. I sighed, closed the curtains, and hoped it'd blow over. It didn't. A few weeks later, I woke up to find our house spray-painted with crude graffiti.
"What the hell?"
I muttered, staring at it in disbelief. Emma saw it before I could even cover it up.
"Mom, what does this mean?"
she asked innocently. My heart sank. I had to explain it away as bad words from mean people. But inside, I was furious. I marched over to Julia's. She answered the door in her scrubs, looking exhausted.
"Olivia, I'm so sorry," she whispered, glancing back to make sure that Kyle wasn't listening.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
"He's going through a phase. Chloe's influence, you know. I'll talk to him."
That night, I heard Kyle and Chloe cackling from their yard.
"Did you see her face? Priceless!"
Chloe giggled.
"Yeah, next time we'll do something better," Kyle replied.
The pranks escalated. One morning, I backed out of the driveway and heard a pop. Nails and shattered glass lined up like a trap. My tire was shredded.
"God damn it!"
I yelled, kicking the debris. Jack came running out.
"Mom, are you okay?"
I nodded, but I was shaking. I called the cops, but when they showed up, Julia played the concerned mom.
"Officers, my son was home all night,"
she lied smoothly. Kyle smirked from the doorway.
"Yeah, must be some kids from down the street."
The cops issued a warning and left. Julia caught me later.
"Olivia, please don't make this bigger. He's just acting out."
And then came the ginger ale incident. It was a Friday night. I was watching TV alone after tucking the kids in. Crash! A full can smashed through the living room window, exploding fizzy liquid everywhere. Glass shards glittered on the carpet. I screamed, heart pounding.
"What the hell?"
I grabbed my phone, dialing 911. Outside, I heard laughter fading away. Kyle and Chloe, no doubt. The cops came again. Same story. Julia vouched for them.
They were inside playing video games, she said.
After the officers left, she knocked on my door, tears in her eyes. I'm mortified, Olivia. Kyle's promised to stop. Please, give him another chance. I slammed the door in her face. That night, I couldn't sleep, imagining what if the kids had been in the room. It got grosser. Dog flung at our siding, splat after splat in the dead of night. I scrubbed it off the next day, gagging. This is disgusting, I told my best friend Lisa over the phone.
You need to do something, girl, she said. Cameras? Evidence?
And the condoms. Oh, God. They filled them with corn syrup and flour, this sticky, gooey mess, and launched them at our house like water balloons from hell. One hit the front door with a wet thunk, oozing white slime down the steps. Now, by then, Kyle and Chloe had turned entrepreneurial. Fake designer bags, knockoff sneakers. They sold them from the porch, blasting rap music to attract buyers. Cars lined the street every weekend, parties raging until dawn. Screams, fights, bottles breaking. Weekdays weren't better. They'd sit out front hurling obscenities. I tried everything. Talked to Julia again. Your son's terrorizing us! Control him! She sighed.
He's 18, Olivia. What can I do? Chloe's the problem. She's got him wrapped around her finger.
But she did nothing. The cops? Useless. Without proof, ma'am, it's he said, she said, one officer told me after another call about the noise. Warnings piled up, but no arrests. Finally, I broke. That's it, I declared to Lisa. I'm getting cameras. We researched, and I splurged on a full system. 8 high-def ones covering every angle. Motion-activated, night vision. The day I installed them, I made sure that Julia's family saw. Kyle and Chloe were on the porch smoking something that smelled skunky. I waved cheerfully as the technician drilled.
Hey, neighbors! Just beefing up security, I called out.
Kyle's face darkened.
What? You think we're gonna rob you or something? He sneered.
Chloe laughed.
Paranoid much, lady?
But I saw the unease in their eyes as we tested the feeds, eliminating the blind spots. Julia watched from her window, looking worried. That night, silence. No pranks, no parties. The next week, nothing. Their fake goods business vanished. Probably moved to Chloe's place across town. The screaming matches? Gone. Or at least muffled inside. A month later, peace reigned. The kids played outside without any fear. I sipped coffee on my porch watching the sunset. Life normalized. I watched her from across the weight room that first morning. The way her ponytail swung with each squat, her legs flexing. She was new, I could tell. Fresh face in a sea of regulars. I wiped down my bench and walked over, casual as could be. Hey, I'm Mark, I said, extending a hand. She smiled politely, her grip firm but quick. Judy, she replied. And that was it. Just Judy. No last name, no Instagram handle. But her voice stuck with me, soft and a little breathless from her set. From then on, I couldn't help but notice her. The gym was my routine, my escape from my daily grind, but she made it something more. I'd catch her eyes flicking away when she saw me looking, but I held my gaze. Why not? She was beautiful. One day, as she bent over to pick up a dumbbell, I stared, imagining all the things that could be. She straightened up and glanced back, but I didn't blink. Let her know I was watching. You hitting legs today? I asked her a week later, sidling up while she racked her plates. She nodded, wiping her forehead. Yeah, trying to mix it up. Looks good on you. Need a spot? I'm good, thanks. I laughed it off. I knew it was only a matter of time. She was simply playing hard to get. I started adjusting my schedule. Used to skip Mondays for recovery, but when I saw her there alone, pumping iron at dawn, I showed up. Morning, I'd say, grabbing a treadmill next to hers. She'd mumble a hello, eyes on her phone. I learned her patterns. 5:30 a.m. sharp. The way she'd sip from her water bottle between sets. One time, I parked early, engine off, waiting for her car to pull in. She arrived a few minutes late, and as she passed my machine, I couldn't resist. Hey, you're late. Usually here by 5:30. Yeah, okay. Just noticing. We all have our routines. She didn't know how deep I'd gone. Judy. No last name, but I had ways. A quick search on my phone during a break. Gym check-ins on Facebook. A tag from a friend. Found her full profile. Judy Smith. 25. From out of town. Her Instagram was public. Full of selfies. I scrolled through, heart pounding, zooming in on her pictures. I sent her a follow request and then a message. Hey, gym buddy. Saw this and thought of you. Attached a meme about leg day. No response. I tried again. You looked great today. Want to grab coffee after? She blocked me there. But I found her on Twitter. LinkedIn, even. Why so private, Judy? I muttered to myself, typing another DM. I just want to talk. You're special. Still nothing. But it fueled me. She was mine to pursue. I'd position myself across the room, eyes locked on her form as she did deadlifts. 2 minutes straight, no breaking away.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
She'd shift uncomfortably, move to another area, but I'd follow subtly, pretending to need that machine. Coincidence, I'd say, if she looked my way. One afternoon, she confronted me by the water station. Do you need something? Her voice was sharp, arms crossed. I leaned in closer. Just admiring the view. You're motivating. She stepped back. That's not cool. Leave me alone. Whatever you say, Judy. That night, I drove by her apartment complex. I'd pieced it together from her posts. A geotag here, a background landmark there. Sat in my car, watching her window light up. Imagined knocking on her door, her opening it, surprised but secretly thrilled. She'd resist at first, but then melt, whispering, "Take me." I had the rope in the trunk for work ties, handcuffs from an old costume party, a knife for utility, tools, nothing more. The next day at the gym, she avoided eye contact entirely. I upped the ante, waited in my car until she arrived, and then rushed in behind her, close enough to smell her shampoo. Citrusy. Fresh. Cold morning, huh? I said at the front desk. She didn't respond, scanning her card quickly. During her workout, I mirrored her sets, grunting louder, showing off. She left early, and I followed at a distance, heart racing. This was it. Time to make a move. She drove erratically, taking weird turns, but I stayed on her tail, excitement building. What was she doing? Testing me? My mind raced with scenarios, pulling her over, dragging her into my car, tying her wrists with the rope, sliding the knife along her neck just to tease. You want this, Judy, I'd say, voice low. Admit it. But then blue lights flashed ahead.
She pulled into a police station and I slammed on the brakes. A cop was waiting outside talking to her. I veered off, pulse hammering. They got my plates. Knew it when sirens wailed behind me later that night. The officer pulled me over, flashlight in my face. "Step out of the vehicle, sir." He searched the car, found the rope, cuffs, knife. "What's this for?" he asked, eyebrow raised. "Work stuff," I lied, but he didn't buy it. "We've had a complaint. Stalking, following a woman home." I denied it all. Just a coincidence. She's a friend from the gym. But they let me go with a warning. No charges, just stay away. Judy must not have pressed it. Maybe she regretted calling them deep down. I stopped going to that gym, found a new one across town. But I couldn't shake her. Checked her socials. She'd gone private. It stung, but I smiled at the screen. "You think that's the end, Judy?" One night, I drove by her place again, parked in the shadows. Her light was on, silhouette moving. "I'll see you soon," I murmured. Months passed, and I moved on to the other women at the new gym. Blondes, brunettes, but none like her. Still, I'd search her name online, reliving the chase, the thrill of it, the mystery of what she felt, the fear I must have sparked. And then one day, I saw her at a coffee shop downtown. She didn't notice me at first, ordering her latte. "Judy," I said softly, stepping up behind her. She turned. "You, stay away from me!" I held up my hands. "Whoa, just getting coffee, no harm." She grabbed her drink and bolted, glancing back once. I didn't follow, not this time. But as I sipped my black coffee, I knew it wasn't over. The pull was too strong. Someday she'd understand. We were meant to collide again. My name is Jessica, and I was 30 when I bought The Little Craftsman on Maple Street in a quiet Ohio suburb. It was supposed to be my fresh start. White picket fence, rose bushes I'd planted myself, the whole dream. At first, it was perfect. My boyfriend, Mike, lived with me for the first 6 months. The guy down the street, this creepy 50-something named Carl, never even looked twice at me. He'd wave at Mike sometimes, call him Buddy, like we were all part of the same club. And then Mike moved out in March. That's when everything changed. I still remember the first time Carl crossed the line. It was a Tuesday evening. I was on my porch reading a book. He strolled right up my driveway like he owned the place, hands in the pockets of his grease-stained Carhartt jacket.
"Hey there, little lady. Where's that husband of yours? I haven't seen him around."
"I don't have a husband. And you're on my property. Please leave."
"Oh, come on now. I used to come over here all the time when old Mrs. Henderson was alive. She didn't mind. Said I could borrow tools whenever I wanted."
"Mrs. Henderson's been dead 2 years. I own this house now. Stay off my lawn." He just smirked and walked away. But the next morning, my favorite porch chair was gone. So was the garden hose I'd left coiled by the spigot. I found my trimmer string missing too, and the doormat that said, "Home, sweet home." I marched down to his place that afternoon, heart pounding. Carl was in his driveway polishing a rusty truck. "Give me back my stuff," I demanded. He didn't even look up.
"Those were your husband's things, darling, not yours. Women like you shouldn't be handling tools anyway."
"I've never been married, you psycho. Return them or I'm calling the cops." He finally met my eyes, cold and flat.
"Go ahead. They'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you. Man's property stays with the man."
The police did come. Officer took a report, looked bored, and told Carl to return everything. He did. Tossed the chair on my lawn like garbage. Hose coiled neatly like he was doing me a favor.
See? No harm done. You girls always overreact. A couple of weeks later, my best friend Lauren came over for movie night. We were laughing on the back deck when Carl's voice cut through the fence like a chainsaw.
Dykes! Go lick each other somewhere else, you carpet-munching
Lauren froze.
Did he just...
Yeah, he does that. We called the cops again. They gave him a warning.
He's got a history,
officer said, almost apologetic. We'll talk to him. Then came the night that I had my coworker Derek over for dinner. Nothing romantic, just pasta and Netflix. Carl stood at the edge of my yard under the streetlight and started in.
You bringing strange men into the neighborhood now? Bet your daddy's real proud, you little s***.
Derek wanted to go punch him. I held him back and dialed 911 instead.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Another warning. Carl just smiled when the cruiser pulled up. Like this was all some game that he was winning. The dog incidents were what really broke me. My golden retriever, Max, was my shadow. One afternoon, I caught Carl trying to coax him through the fence with a piece of lunch meat.
Come here, boy. Come on. I'll take good care of you. Better than that inside.
I flew out the back door.
Get away from my dog!
Carl didn't flinch.
Dogs need a man's hand.
You don't know what you're doing.
I snatched Max's collar and dragged him inside, shaking. Humane officers got involved after the third time. Carl claimed that Max had wandered into his yard. They warned him, took pictures of the treats that he had scattered, but again, no charges. By July, he was loitering constantly. I'd come home from work to find him in my flower bed, like he belonged there. He had cut down every one of my rose bushes with garden shears, said that they were blocking his view, dug up all the tulips that I had planted that spring, and scattered the bulbs like trash. His two mangy mutts used my yard as a toilet. The smell was unbearable. I confronted him one last time in my driveway, phone recording in my pocket. You are not welcome here. I own this property. Get off.
Old Mrs. Henderson gave me permission before she died. Said that I could come and go as I please.
You got no authority, girl. Where's your father? Let me talk to a man who actually knows what he's doing.
My father lives in Arizona. I'm the owner, and I've told you to leave.
You think a piece of paper makes you the boss? Women like you need a firm hand, that's all.
I called the police while he stood there watching. They finally served him a written no trespass order. He violated it twice. Once at 2 a.m., shining a flashlight in my windows. Once trying to borrow my lawnmower. Both times he got cited. Fines piled up. He never paid a cent, and the court did nothing. I started sleeping with a baseball bat by my bed. My anxiety was so bad, I threw up before work some mornings. I stopped inviting friends over. Then, in September, I met Ryan at a friend's barbecue. We clicked instantly. After our second date, he asked if he could come over and cook me dinner. I hesitated and then said yes. The first night that he stayed over, Carl didn't make a sound. No shouting, no loitering, nothing. 2 weeks later, Ryan moved some of his stuff in. He was there most nights. One evening, we were grilling on the back deck when Carl walked past on the sidewalk. He glanced over and saw Ryan standing there in his work boots flipping burgers and kept walking without a word. No slurs, no stealing, nothing. Ryan never had to say a thing. He didn't confront Carl, didn't call the cops. He was just there, solid, present, male. And somehow, that was enough to make the nightmare stop. The sun filtered through the pine canopy as Jess and I hiked the familiar trail that snaked away from the parking lot. I was 18, she was 20. And this trip had been our idea after a summer of too many family dinners and not enough breathing room. Just us, Jess had said when she had pitched over breakfast 2 weeks earlier. No boys, no phones if we can help it. Real camping, like when we were kids. I'd laughed and agreed because she always knew how to pull me into her plans. We had driven out to the state forest we knew by heart, the one with the hidden trails and the lake. By mid-afternoon, our tent was up in a small clearing that we had claimed years ago, and we were wandering down to the water with nothing but water bottles and a shared sense of freedom. That's when we saw him the first time. He was maybe 50, bald. A dog trotted at his heels on a loose leash. Nothing unusual, people walk dogs here all the time. But something in the way he moved made my chest tighten, like the air had gone thick. Jess glanced at me, and I saw the same flicker in her eyes. Without thinking, I slipped my phone out, angled it low, and snapped a quick photo of his back as he disappeared around the bend. My hands shook a little. I didn't say why, I just knew I needed it.
Creepy, right?
Jess whispered once he was out of earshot. Her voice was low, almost embarrassed.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. He didn't even look at us, but I don't like it.
We laughed it off, the way you do when you're trying to sound braver than you feel, and kept walking. The lake was quiet, except for the occasional splash of a fish. We skipped rocks and talked about nothing. College applications for me, her new job at the coffee shop, the latest fight with Mom, normal sister stuff. An hour later, we were heading back toward our site. When we saw him again, he was standing near the water's edge, dogs sniffing at a log. This time, he looked straight at us. His eyes lingered too long on the small tent that we had left propped against a tree earlier, the one that we had carried down just to test the spot. He started walking over before we could change direction.
Hey there! Your girl's setting up camp out here!
Jess stopped first. I stayed half a step behind her.
We are. Just for the night.
He nodded, scratching the dog's ears.
Nice spot. You carrying that tent yourselves? Looks heavy for two little ladies. You camping with your husbands? Boyfriends, maybe? Chicks like you shouldn't be out here alone.
Yeah, they're meeting us up the trail in a bit.
Yeah, they're running late, but they'll be here any minute now.
The lie came out smooth, like we had rehearsed it. We were just heading to find them now. He tilted his head, studying us.
Husbands, huh? That's good. Woods can get lonely. You sure you don't need help with that tent? I know a few tricks.
No, we're good,
Jess said quickly.
Thanks anyway. We should get going. They hate waiting.
He chuckled, low and easy.
All right, then. Enjoy your night, ladies. Stay safe.
We turned and started walking, feet moving faster than our words. Once we hit the fork in the path, the one that most people missed because it dipped behind a thick wall of bushes, Jess grabbed my wrist.
This way, she breathed.
We jumped down the hidden trail, hearts hammering, and crouched behind a fallen log where the foliage swallowed us whole. The parallel path was only 10 feet away, but from here, we were invisible. We waited. Seconds stretched into minutes. And then we heard it. Footsteps, quick and deliberate, coming up the main trail. The dog's tags jingled. I peeked through a gap in the leaves and saw him. He wasn't strolling anymore. He was jogging, head turning left and right like he was hunting for something. For us.
Damn, he's following us.
I didn't answer. My mouth had gone dry. We stayed frozen until his footsteps faded up the wrong path, the one that we had told him our imaginary husbands were on. When the woods went silent again, Jess let out a shaky breath.
We're not staying. The tent. We can come back for it tomorrow if it's still there. I'm not risking it.
I nodded, throat tight.
Yeah, let's go home.
We moved fast after that, cutting through the underbrush we knew like our own backyard. Every snap of a twig made us flinch. By the time we reached the car, the sun was dipping low, and my legs felt like jelly. We didn't speak much on the drive back, just the radio playing low and the occasional, "You okay?" from one of us to the other. The next evening, Jess burst into my room without knocking, phone in hand.
"Look at this," she said, shoving the screen at me.
It was a post from the local residence group. The photo showed the same bald guy. Only now, he was standing on someone's porch two towns over, trying the front door handle while the homeowner yelled at him from inside. The caption read,
This guy just walked up like he owned the place. Said he was a repairman sent by the city. I called the cops. Stay safe, everyone. My stomach dropped. Under the post, comments poured in. Other women saying that he had knocked on their doors, too. Always with some story about checking pipes or meters. One said that he had followed her from the grocery store the week before. Jess sat on the edge of my bed. That could have been us. If we hadn't known those trails. If we hadn't trusted that weird feeling. I scrolled through the comments, heart still racing, even though we were safe in my room. Jess exhaled, long and slow. And then she reached over and pulled me into a hug. We're idiots for going out there. But we're smart idiots, she muttered against my shoulder. I laughed, even though my eyes stung. Next time we camp, we bring the husbands we don't have. Or at least Dad's shotgun.
Whoa! Where'd you manage to find these? Shirley asked, staring in wide-eyed awe at the three giant paintings stacked in the trunk of my car. Flea market, I said proudly, dusting off my hands after touching the edge of the old copper frame. Real bargain, too.
I thought they would look great on the far side of the cafe, right by the tall stools.
What do you think? I turned to my manager, who had tasked me with finding some extra decorations for the new Starbucks branch she was opening. I had been scouring online marketplaces and websites for something to fill the back wall of the cafe, and had finally come across these when I had visited a local flea market over the weekend. I trust you, Shirley finally said, patting my shoulder gently. And these do match really well with the existing furniture. Well done, Tish. I beamed at her praise, glad I hadn't messed up such an important task. The new branch had its grand opening the day after tomorrow, and everything needed to be in place before then. Great. I'll start putting these up today. You don't happen to have a drill lying around, do you? I scratched the back of my neck with a sheepish smile. I forgot to bring my tools. Shirley chuckled. Ask Mary. I'm sure he'll have something you can use. With a nod, she wandered off, and I began carefully unloading the paintings from the back of the car, making sure I didn't crack the frames with my heavy-handedness. I carried them one at a time from my car into the cafe, laying them out on the table in the break room so that I could give them a once-over. The style could only be described as abstract. There were no legible figures in the paintings, just swirls of colors and patterns that matched the chic modern aesthetic of the coffee shop. The colors were muted instead of garish, with specks of gold that complemented the gold accents of the furniture. As soon as I saw them, I knew they'd be perfect. Mary managed to source a drill for me, as well as gloves and safety goggles, so I got to work measuring and installing the hooks for the paintings to hang from. After half an hour of drilling, and measuring, and drilling again, the hooks were finally in place, and the floor was covered in plaster and dust. Shirley shot me a raised brow at the mess, but I promised her I would vacuum up every last particle, which seemed to appease her. With the hooks done, I unplugged the drill, took off my goggles, and inspected my handiwork. They seemed evenly spaced and straight, but the real test would be mounting the paintings themselves. Mary had been polishing them for the past 20 minutes, and now the copper frames gleamed blood red beneath the fluorescence. He helped me put them up, and after cleaning up the mess on the floor, I finally dusted off my hands and grinned. "They look great," Shirley said from behind us. Mary was quiet, staring hard at the painting on the right, a multitudinous swirl of pinks and grays. "Something wrong?" I asked him. He seemed to snap out of his daze, flashing me a hurried smile. No, it's just... Is it me, or is there a face in that painting? I frowned at him, then at the artwork, trying to pinpoint where he was looking. "I don't see a face," I told him. "All I see is swirly things." Mary pursed his lips, pointing to a section of the painting in the corner.
There, see? There's eyes, and a nose, and a chin.
He followed the curve of the line with his fingers, but I was still struggling to see the face he was talking about. Maybe, I said nonchalantly. I've never been one of those people who see faces and images and things, though. Take me cloud watching, and all I see are clouds. Mary nodded.
I'm probably just seeing things, he said, clearing his throat.
But, yeah, I think they look great. He shot the painting a final, questioning look before walking away, humming to himself. I shrugged it off. As long as the customers didn't complain, it didn't matter what we thought. At least now we didn't have to stare at a blank wall. The opening of the new Starbucks branch ended up being a success. I was exhausted by the time I was ready to clock out of my shift, having been rushed off my feet serving the steady flow of customers coming into the cafe. As I was heading to the staff room to grab my stuff, I was apprehended by a young woman.
"Hello, do you work here?"
the woman asked, holding hands with a young girl who had tears streaming down her cheeks. Is everything okay?" I asked, my gaze flicking across to the girl's teary-eyed look and back to the woman. The woman's lips pursed, and she turned to point at something behind her.
"I'm not sure that's very appropriate to have in a family-friendly cafe like this," she said. "My daughter was very upset when she saw it."
I stared at her in confusion.
I'm sorry, I don't understand," I said, following the direction of her outstretched hand.
She was pointing towards the paintings.
"What do you mean, not appropriate?" "Having scary faces on the walls," the woman clarified. "In the paintings, there are some horrible faces. Like I said, it made my daughter very upset."
I gave her another bewildered look.
"There are no faces in those paintings, ma'am. It's just abstract art."
The woman gave me a disapproving glare.
"I'd appreciate it if you didn't dismiss my concerns. Can I take the matter to your manager?"
I hurriedly shook my head.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to dismiss them. I just don't see any faces," I admitted, scratching my cheek. "But I'll take a look and I'll discuss the matter with my senior. I'm very sorry for the trouble it caused you and your daughter."
The woman gave me another narrow look before hurrying out of the cafe, her daughter sniffling behind her.
What the hell was that all about? What scary faces was she talking about?
I wandered casually up to the paintings and had a closer look, but I couldn't see anything that would frighten someone to tears. With a sigh, I decided to mention it to Shirley when she was in the following morning, and got my stuff ready to leave. Several more complaints cropped up in the days following the shop's opening. All of them related in some way to the gruesome and horrible faces that people were seeing in the paintings I had bought. No matter how hard I looked, I couldn't see anything that resembled a human face amongst the swaths of color, and couldn't comprehend why people were getting so upset by it. I thought maybe it had been a prank at first, set up by Mary or another colleague. But people's reactions were far too genuine for it to just be made up. I ended up bringing the matter to Shirley, who asked me to find something different to put up instead. Although she couldn't see anything wrong with them either, the amount of complaints we were receiving was ruining our reputation, and it was best to just switch out the decor to avoid repercussions in the future. In the end, I managed to find some simple block-colored paintings that still match the cafe, and stayed behind late one afternoon to put them up. I didn't like them quite as much as the abstract ones, but hopefully it would be enough to stop people complaining. I carried the old paintings into the break room, setting them down on the table. I was the only one there, since everyone else had gone home, and most of the lights were off, casting eerie shadows around the cafe. As I was getting ready to leave and close up, something caught my attention. What looked like eyes staring back at me from the painting. My heart jerked in my chest as I stared at the picture on the table. It had changed. The pink had turned into a sickly, flesh-colored hue, and the gray had darkened, forming dark shadows along the canvas. And in the middle of it all was a face, with dark gouges for eyes, and its mouth open in an endless scream.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The swirls of pink coming together in a pale, fleshy mirage. The image made me feel sick to my stomach. That face, where had it come from? Is this what everyone had been seeing? Feeling a chill creep over my spine, I grabbed the 3 paintings, trying not to look too hard at them, and tossed them into the trash bins behind the cafe. Then I closed up the shop and tried to erase the memory of the gruesome face in the painting completely from my mind.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.